Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke. I've entitled this, Moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit. In all the Christmas messages, this particular text really has jumped out at me, and so I'm going to take a moment to teach and preach as we do on Sunday nights. Here we go. Look at verse 25, New King James. Once again, Luke chapter 2, for those of you that are listening. Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. Is it on the screen also? Very good. He was a man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. Everybody say that. And the Holy Spirit. Okay, just stop for a second. Holy Spirit is upon him. Jesus hasn't been crucified. The outpouring of the Spirit hadn't taken place. The Holy Spirit is upon him like he would be upon those in the Old Testament, on a king, on a prophet, on a priest. Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had, look at verse 26, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Who revealed it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will reveal stuff to you. You need a word from God. I'm just going to stop and say, in talking with the Hergelots as we prayed through whether they should be going to Tucson or not, I'm going to say to them what I said to you. I said, if you don't have a word from God, if you don't know that you know that you know that God's called you down there, then do not go. Don't go. I said, for the love of God, I pleaded with you, really. And the reason is, if you have a word, then there's nothing. I mean, you will make it. Mountains will move. You say, well, I have his word. Yeah, there's his word. But I'm talking about the rhema word, a calling. You believe, and I believe with you, that God called you. I don't have a specific word. I'm standing on yours. But things are shifting for me. There's some things happening. But you got to know. Come on, point to their neighbor and say, you got to know, bro. Say, hey, sister, you got to know. You got to know. So it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's no arguing that. Been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. I mean, that's quite a revelation. I mean, I've had people say to me, it's been revealed to me that I'm not going to die until Jesus comes back. I've heard many people say that. Yeah, wow. Is that true? Well, we'll see. See, the thing about his word, is it true? Well, yeah, because Jesus is brought in right after this and he sees the Christ. How do you know whether you have a word from God that it's from God? How do you know the vision you have is from God? Well, there's a lot of different things you need to do. You weigh it, judge it according to Scripture. It won't violate holy writ. The canon of Scripture won't violate that. And then God will do things. He'll confirm it to you. He'll speak to you. You need to learn to move with the cloud. We need to move with the cloud. We need to move with the column of fire. You need to move with the cloud. If you want to have biblical results of breakthrough in your life, you need to learn how to flow in the Spirit. So it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he'd seen the Lord's Christ. So, listen to this next, we'll look at verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. That's awesome. What's so awesome about that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because he would have totally missed his moment of seeing the Christ had he not been led by the Spirit to go into the temple. And listen, the temple's not small. It's huge. The Temple Mount, the whole that whole complex, it's big. I mean, shoot, you could show up here, come on the Simon Diary, somebody could walk out the back door and you wouldn't see them in this building. So he gets a word, it's revealed to him, he's going to see the Lord's Christ before he dies. And then by the Spirit, he comes into the temple. By the what? By the Spirit. I think about the miracles that have taken place in our lives, the Bracken family and the church, the Capos and different ones, the Davises, all the dreams and all the visions. I think about the Moroccos. I think about all the people that I've known, the Jones family, the Hergelots. I think about all the people I know and how God speaks to them. And then how sovereignly God brings about that plan. But then I know many others that I don't see that kind of fruit. Now, I'm not judging them in that it might be taking place or maybe it's delayed. God knows I was a late bloomer. Any late bloomers? I was a late bloomer. I'm still blooming. I still hope to bloom. Come on, somebody say, I'm still growing up. So he's led by the Spirit into the temple. And as that takes place, look what happens. When the parents brought him the child Jesus to do according to the law, he meets salvation. He meets the Christ. He meets Yeshua. Yeshua in the Old Testament is the same word for salvation. He meets Jesus. The fulfillment of his vision comes to pass, but he never would have gotten it if he wasn't led by the Spirit into the temple at the exact time that he walked in. So how do you do that? I mean, how many of you want to be like where you need to be when you need to be there? How many of you want to be? How many of you want to fulfill God's plan and purpose? Now, if you don't, there's something wrong with you. We can pray for you at some point during the service. It is God's plan and God's will that we long to see happen. I long to see Satan fall like lightning. I long to see people saved and healed and delivered. I have set my heart, and I believe many of you have too, that I want to live in the will of God. I'm going to do God's will. I don't want to have my own plan. I don't want to make an Ishmael. No thanks. Come on, somebody say amen. So in understanding that, you're going to have to be led by the Spirit. And sometimes you're led by something else. Led by the Frigidaire, maybe. Understanding the Holy Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit, who is the Holy Spirit, and what is his purpose? In John 14, verse 26, it says this. When the Father sends the Advocate, as my representative's New International Version, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, remind you of everything I've told you. The Holy Spirit's God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We are Trinitarians. Now, you won't find the word Trinity in Scripture, but we believe in the one true and living God, and three distinct Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the same way that there's an egg with a shell and the albumen and then the yolk, all three are egg. God is, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. So the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity. He's a distinct person. He's not an it. He's not a dove. He's not a force. He's not impersonal. You can lie to the Holy Spirit as Ananias and Sapphira did. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians talks about that. He's a person. He's a person. The advocate. What is the role of an advocate? John 14, 26. Advocate, my representative. An advocate is to assist, to guide, to empower believers. An advocate, a helper. A lawyer is an advocate. You can have somebody be an advocate on behalf of your case. The Holy Spirit is your advocate. Come on, lift your hands and say, I got something better than a lawyer in a courtroom. I got something better than a lawyer in a courtroom. I have an advocate. Hallelujah. An advocate or a helper or a comforter or a counselor. He's a teacher. You might want to write some of these things down. He's a teacher. The Holy Spirit teaches believers all things, reminds them of what God has said. Teaching role is vital for understanding spiritual truths. A strong teaching gift can open a region. An anointed teaching gift can transform things. We've seen that throughout history. It's one of the fivefold gifts: teacher, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, teacher. The Holy Spirit will teach you. Aren't you glad? He's trying to teach you some things that you might not be paying attention. He was teaching Minister Eric about finances. He actually has a mind now for investing. How's that? How do you go from a drawer full of bills to being an investor? God taught you and you listened. You learned. Maybe you studied some too. And I've had people that say, you know, Pastor, I just want the Lord to teach me. I don't want anybody else to teach. No, God sends you teachers too. And you can learn everything, apparently, on YouTube. You can learn and study the Word. You can learn to study the Word on YouTube. You just got to watch out because there's a lot of YouTube freaks and podcasters that are really like Jabba the Hutt with some AI image up there. That's what's happening really in the background. The Holy Spirit dwells inside believers from the moment they receive Jesus. He's the indweller. So when you receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence, but that's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said it's not new. It is not. It's two separate things. Somebody say, bruh, it's two separate things. Okay, I've got some people listening. Come on, say it's two separate things. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of when you become a believer, but that's not the baptism of the Spirit with power. Two different things. That's why Paul, when he comes in Acts 19, talks to some who he sees as believers. But they're believers in John the Baptist's baptism. They were baptized into repentance. They'd not been born again, but he thought that they were. It's always interesting. How did he know? He thought they were believers. How did he know that? There was a behavior, something they were doing. And he says, hey, guys. Walks up to him. Hey. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you first believed? And what did they say?
We've
not even heard that there was, they've not even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. He's like, what? Come on, somebody say, what? What? He said, well, who were you baptized in? Oh, it was John the Baptist's baptism. By the way, look where they are. Look where they are and look where John the Baptist had his base camp of baptism at the Jordan. Look how far they are. Thousands of miles from where John the Baptist. No internet, no text, no DMs, none of that. Power of the Holy Spirit. So they get born again and then he prays that they get filled with the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The source of power. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and most parts of the earth. You could look at Acts 2, Acts 8 for the note takers, Acts 9, Acts 10, Acts 19, which I was just talking about. You need the baptism. The infilling. It's being pickled. Thank God the days are going to get longer from here on in. We ought to just have a praise break right now. Notice the Tucson people don't care. Call us in the summer, brother. Be like, how is it? For the love of God, it's like Hades. It's 125. There's no fish. Be like, just use that word of the Lord, brother.
Amen. Amen.
I forgot what I was talking about, so I'm going to saunter on for my notes. I'm going to take a look. baptism of the Holy Ghost. John 16, 8, he's a convictor of power. Yes, he's a convictor of sin. Convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. John 16, 8. Wow. He's the giver of spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, but there's other gifts in Romans. In fact, somebody said there's 9 spiritual gifts. Well, by one count, by another count, there's 21, 22 spiritual gifts. Thank God for the gifts. Wouldn't that be an amazing Christmas gift to be baptized in the fire of the Holy Ghost? You need that. Somebody said, how come you guys pray in tongues so much? Because we like it. Tongues is the Spirit praying through you. Ontologically is it's the study of spiritual spatial reality. So the Holy Spirit, your spirit is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit definitely isn't your spirit. But when he comes and he takes up residence and he dwells on the inside of you and then he fills you, the Holy Spirit operates through your spirit economically as one. Praying in languages that you don't know, like language of angels. But also, I think I've prayed in Hawaiian. How do you know? I don't know. It was this moment where I was praying intense spiritual warfare at a he'eau many, many years ago. And all of a sudden, some Hawaiian sounds were coming out of my mouth as I had just lost myself in prayer and intercession. I've been in services where we take someone by the hand, and over on the right side of the church was a visitor, and this precious auntie lady took her by the hand and prayed for him. Well, when it was over, he turned to her and said in Greek, you know, introduced himself, and she's like, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're saying. And he said, oh, but you just prayed in perfect Greek. How'd you do that? She goes, I don't know. He's like, oh my God, because it ministered to him and spoke to him about his heart, thought that she was prophesying over him. She was, but it was in tongues. I'm in all kinds of crazy stories about tongues. You need that. We need that. You need the baptism of fire. Don't make a theology and an excuse because you don't have it, and then you just want to be with a cessationist because you haven't experienced that. Who makes you the paragon of virtue and receiver of all gifts? How about you're not hungry, perhaps? How about you haven't been filled maybe just yet? Just because God didn't do it for you doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Can I get it? Amen. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. A Spirit-filled church is a very different church than a non-Spirit-filled church. I met some guy in the lobby today. I think his name was Noah. He might be here. I don't know. If you're here, don't wave your hand or anything. But he was raised in a Pentecostal house. And he was telling me, My grandma praying tongues no matter who it was. Didn't matter. Just praying in tongues all the time. Doesn't matter who she's in front of, wherever she is, going through the store, sees shakalaka bam bam everywhere she goes. And I found that sometimes people, how do I say this? They want to make the move of the Spirit seeker friendly. I have news for you. The move of the Spirit is not seeker friendly. In fact, can be quite the opposite. People can start laughing like Sister Redhead over here. You just don't know why you're laughing. I don't know. I've got joy. The move of the Spirit is not seeker friendly. You want to hear a story? I know you do. I'm going to tell you. I had a dream. And in my dream, I was rebuked greatly by the Lord. My dream is this. I'm preaching. I'm the guest speaker. Dr. Morocco's running the services. It was a revival meeting in a building that was like a mile long. I mean, so many people that you couldn't see them all. And there's cameras, TV cameras. I mean, it's this big, massive event. And I'm going to be the speaker. Except I'm on the front row, and I have to go to the bathroom. So, you know, that happens occasionally. How many of you going to the bathroom today? If you haven't, we can pray for you by the end of the service. So, you know, there's some nearby bathrooms. The closest bathroom for me is right inside that room right there. And there's been times where like, ooh, shoot, I gotta go. So I just take off and go to the restroom. So it's one of those. I gotta speak, but I've got just enough time to hit the bathroom, come back, be ready for Dr. Morocco. And tonight, Pastor Daniel Bracken's gonna be speaking. Put your hands together for Daniel Bracken. And then I would get up and preach. So I've got just enough time before that. So I hustle out, and the armor bearer guy, which is like, you know, you, the guy helping me, gets up, and we both head off. In fact, there's two of them. So we head off, and we go down, and it was like forever going to the end of the building. We get to the end of the building, I take a right turn to head towards the bathrooms, and there is like 20 people piled up on the ground. Does anybody know what that looks like? They're on the ground, they're weeping, they're laughing. I mean, God, it was like this God mob. And I turn the corner, I'm like, whoa, Lord, I didn't know you were doing things like that right here, right now. I thought it was pretty conservative service. Wow. And I go to move through, and the Spirit of God hits me like a truck from behind, hits me, and I pile up right all up into those people. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look like a slob when I come to preach. My mama trained me different. If that's how you roll, good for you. That's not how I roll. I have my favorite Santa shirt on. I only wear it two or three times a year. And I pressed it. It's ironed. Might not be perfect, but it doesn't have nose jazz all over it. Don't look too closely. It's my favorite Santa shirt. It's not biblical. Well, Saint Nick. Anyway, in this case, the power of God hits me. I fall amongst all these people laughing and rolling around. I'm wearing a suit and jacket. My jacket goes over my head. My tie just goes up. My shirt comes out. My pants rip. I mean, I'm piled up and I can't get up. And I can hear in the background, like, I've got to preach. So I'm trying to get up and I said, Lord, seriously, I need to speak. Like he doesn't know. So I get up and I'm destroyed. It's like my pants are ripped. I gotta go to the bathroom and my clothes are messed up. So it's a dream. I'm instantly back in my hotel room. Praise the Lord. I don't have to go to the bathroom anymore. I guess that'd take care of itself. But I've got a clothing. You know, I've got a wardrobe malfunction. So I get another pair of pants because those ones are ripped, and I put them on, and the button just shoots off. I get another pair of pants, and I put those on, and they kind of work. Then I get a shirt. I put this shirt on, but it doesn't really match. Then I got a jacket, and that doesn't work. And I'm just so frustrated with everything. I'm like, I look like a jerk. Jesus, help me. I know none of you have ever felt that way. Ladies, I know the fact is different. You know totally what I'm talking about. I just felt like out of place. I wasn't matching. I felt not prepared. So I go through a couple crazy wardrobe changes, and finally I've got to make it back to the church because so instantly I'm like in a van, and boom, I'm at the church. I quickly come down. I sit down. Dr. Morocco looks at me like, we've been killing time. You know, there's a lot of looks that come from the front. So it's kind of like, where were you? I'm glad you're here. Praise God. I don't know what the problem was. And so I'm thinking, okay, all right, we're good. I mean, it looks like not very good, but it's okay. Lord, come on, Jesus. And then I realize I don't have my notes. And I go, my notes. My notes are back in the back. I think they're in the back when I went, you know, with my jacket and my tie and split my pants with all those Holy Ghost people back there. My notes are back there. And so I tell the guy that I'm sitting with like this. I said, dude, my notes are back there. And he literally gets up and goes that way. I'm like, he just takes off wrong way. And Dr. Brock goes, put your hands together for Pastor Daniel Brock. And I'm like, I'm doomed. And as I get up, God's power starts falling and the Lord speaks to me and says this, son, you can't make the move of the Spirit seeker friendly, so don't try. And I thought, yes, Lord. Long story, but a great point. I know some people that, well, shoot. We're talking about being led by the Spirit. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need to be led by the Spirit. I like being dignified, but the Holy Spirit doesn't like dignified sometimes, I think. When we were in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, I was sitting with the Andersons. And they're telling me, we want to go start a church in California. This is before they came to Kings. I'm in a, what's the one that messed up their logo and then everybody abandoned them? Cracker Barrel. They went woke and everybody's like, we're not eating your food anymore. And then they went back. So I'm in a Cracker Barrel and I'm sitting with them at Cracker Barrel and they tell me, we're going to California. We're going to start a church. I'm like, California? And then literally the Spirit of God hits me so hard that I double over and make noises in Cracker Barrel. I don't mean average noises. I mean like loud, like double over, like that. People are getting up. They're thinking that I'm choking on something. Pastor Aaron's like, he's okay. He's okay. Are you okay? He's okay. He's okay. He tells a story now that I fell on the floor. I did not fall on the floor. And look at these Pentecostals, their stories always expand. It's like fish stories. He was on the floor and he was writhing under the fire. I was not, that I can recall. And while I'm doubled over, I hear the Lord say, they're going to Antioch, California. And I thought, oh God. And ooh, she let me up. And everybody's looking, I'm like, I'm all right. You know, there's moments in God that don't fit your carnal mind. And if you're not open, listen, I don't want to look like a fool. I want to bathe myself. I want to move in the Spirit of God with a nice shirt on. I understand that. But there's times that come. And if you're not willing to be in complete abandon for God, and you can move him out of your life through your structure in your mind. A spirit of control will never have revival, ever. A spirit of control, a spirit of religion will never have a move of the Spirit, ever. Gosh, I struggle with that sometimes. Don't look at me like that, Pastor Kirsten. I want things in order. How many of you like things in order? I want my lyrics when I want them. I want my notes. Where's Brother Note? Want my notes? There's no notes tonight. Praise the Lord. Next slide. But so oftentimes God wants to just blow through our lives and lead us and guide us and direct us. And you want to move with the Spirit? Raise your hand if you want to move with the Spirit of God in your life. You want to move with the Spirit of God? You've got to be open to Him. Let me just share with you just a few things to be like Simeon, to have a revelation from God. You get a word from God and be the right place at the right time. Be led by just a few things. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down. Develop an openness to the Spirit. Practice His presence. Ask Him to lead you. I remember how this first started in my life. I'd wake up and the Lord, I feel like I would hear His voice and He would say, don't drink Coca-Cola today. I'd be like, ooh, what? So I'd drink Coke that day and feel like I'm in sin. Like I grieve the Lord. I mean, I'm just drinking Coca-Cola. I didn't know there was 45 grams of sugar in it back then, but now I know. So I would just drink that Coca-Cola. And then I'd feel like, I think maybe that, you know, the whole day goes by. I was a big Coca-Cola drinker and I'm thinking, that might've been God. So the next day I wake up and the Lord's like, don't drink Coca-Cola today. I feel like it's the Lord. He's teaching me to hear His voice. He's teaching me to walk with Him. And I just said, okay, It's not going to hurt me to not drink Coca-Cola. I said, God, I think that might be you. I'm going to do that. So I didn't drink Coca-Cola. Man, by the end of the day, I don't know. I just felt like I obeyed the Lord. And a number of things began to happen like that in my life. Develop an openness to being led by this. Can you play openness in the spirit music? Be open to allowing him to lead you. He'll give you thoughts. One of the ways I know that they're not my thoughts is I could never come up with some of the things he tells me. Started telling me about what clothes to wear. I know it's crazy. And you can be a spiritual fruitcake. Oh no, can't do that. I didn't pray yet. Okay. Get to work. But then this thing happened that really stirred me. I woke up and I felt like a shirt got highlighted out of my closet. I thought, I just stood out. So I put the shirt, I wore it all day. I come back to the base yard. I was a tour guide. Come back to the base yard, and the guy that is working there, and I've told this story before, he's wearing the exact same shirt. And I said, hey. And then I instantly remember, that's the shirt God told me to wear. I said, hey, I like your shirt. He says, I like yours. I said, thanks. He was about 50 years old. I was in my 30s. He's an old guy. And I was the last one there, and he was cleaning up. He was a new hire. And I walk out, and the Lord says, turn around and go tell him about me. I thought, I don't want to turn around and go tell him about you. How about somebody else says that? I've had a 12-hour day at that point, and I don't want to. And I'm just thinking, he had the same shirt. You told me to wear the shirt. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Okay, I'll do it. I'll do it. I go back, and I said, hey. He said, yeah. I said, I want to tell you about my best friend. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. The guy instantly starts crying. I share the whole gospel with him, and he gets born again on the spot, gets saved. Then he tells me, you don't know this, but today I was going home to kill myself. I said, whoa. And he tells me his story. He was a very successful psychologist on the Beltway in Washington, D.C. with a huge practice. And he lost everything. Lost his kids. Lost everything. And he got gloriously saved that day. And I brought him to church that weekend. And he got touched by the Spirit of God. And he met some other believers, and he ended up going to another church, which is fine. Our church is not for everybody. He went to another church. Do you know that he is one of the key producers in Christian movies today in America? God used that guy. He's this incredible photographer, which none of us knew. And then when I got married a few months later. I married Karen. December 6th, 1997. And he says this to me, hey, can I come and just take a few pictures at your wedding? I said, what do you mean? He's like, well, I like taking pictures. I'm like, okay, yeah. He said, can I get there early? I said, well, they'll be setting up. And I'm thinking, yeah. So I, you know, wound up in the wedding, but I get down to my wedding. And they're like, hey, there's some guy here with like a whole bunch of equipment and stuff. I'm like, really? They're like, yeah, he's up there. I look up. We're talking tripods, giant telephotos all over the place in different places in the church. And he's like, I think the guy taking pictures for us at our wedding was smoking weed or something, because the guy that we hired did a horrible job. But this guy, we have the most incredible photos of some guy, because I wore the same shirt that he did and somehow got led by God. It can start like that. You can be at the right place at the right time, be led. Listen, cultivate a spirit. Cultivate the Holy Spirit in your life, an openness. Secondly, number two, remove blockages. What do you mean? Well, Ephesians talks about that. You can have blockages. Sin is a blockage. Some of you have patterns in your life. You need to remove them. Some of you are offended. You came out of the womb offended. You're offended at God. Unbelief, fear. Let me read this to you, Ephesians 4:30. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit. Oh my goodness. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. The way you live, either God gets encouraged and blessed by the way you live, or you grieve him. Which one are you doing? Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you'll be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Those things are blockages. So if you're angry all the time and you're bitter all the time, don't expect God to lead you with the cloud. That's not how, no, you've cut him out. Because God is not a God of bitterness. He's not a God of anger. He's not a God of rage. That's not how he operates. He's drawn to a lifestyle that exemplifies him. Christ-likeness. Yeah, but I am angry. Get healed. I'm bitter. It doesn't look good on you, your face. It just doesn't look good. You got a bitter face. You need to change your face. And you change your face by changing your heart. You change your heart. I'm fine. I was at the gym recently. This particular guy that just had this pretty dark vibe. And I don't even know what I mean. You didn't look happy, you know, your face. If your face looked bitter and angry, you probably are. He didn't look very happy because he wasn't. So this brother from our church invited him to church. He's like, "Nah, I ain't going there." And then the next thing he says is, "You need to go on a diet." What kind of, who does that? No, seriously, here, stand with me. So go ahead, invite me to church, I'll be the guy.
Hey, you should come and check out our service over at King's in the morning, 9 a.m., 11 a.m.
"You need to go on a diet." That's what he said. Who does that? Who does that? Someone who's bent, they need healing. They need deliverance. If you're listening right now, good. Reminds me of another gym story, which I'll tie into the next point, walking in the Spirit, daily dependence, walking in the Spirit. I go into the gym one day, and there was this guy that was on all kinds of extra supplements, I think. I could tell by the size, he was massive, and he was also angry. And he was playing like this really intense sort of screamo music. At the Alaska Club. That's the one I've been going there for 18 years. Well, I walk in, very different vibe. I see people that are usually there at the time I'm there. And I'm like, "What's up?" And this guy's like, "Guy, I've seen there all the time." He just points. And I look and I see Goliath. And I said, "Whose music is that?" I just say it out loud. I've been going there for years. "Whose music is that?" Because I hated it and I wanted it turned off. And they have secular music on. I usually put in headphones, but who's is that? And everybody's like, "This guy, it's him." And they point, and there he is. So I went up to him. I mean, literally, he had to be 6'6". I mean, he's huge. So I went up there. I said, "Hey, bro." He's like, "What?" I said, "Is that your music?" "Yeah." I said, "You need to turn it off." He gets up. And he comes right on, looking right at him. I said, "You need to turn it off." He said, "Oh, yeah?" I said, "Yeah, dude, that ain't working. We're here all the time. That ain't ever happening. You're new or something, but we don't do that. That's it. You're breaking the club rules." "You're going to make me?" And I was like, "No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that. But I wanted to, and then it might have been a mistake."
you laughing at? I didn't do that. I felt every neuron firing, and I just like completely flushed, like, whoa. And I'm being disrespected by Goliath, and I just wanted to be like, sit down. You know, I just wanted to do whatever. And he said, are you going to make me? I'm like, nope. And I backed away. I walked off. I'm like, oh, get him. Lord, do something. Give him hemorrhoids. Jesus, help him right now. And I walked off. This is God's honest truth. I walked off, and it interrupted my workout. And I got a bad attitude. And I still hear, still hearing it, still clanking weights, still dominating, scaring people. Children are running, women are screaming. It's horrible. And the Lord told me, stop it. I'll fix this for you. You stay in the spirit. It's good you didn't do any of those things you thought of. Walk in the spirit. You know what happened? I haven't seen that guy. I'd like to see him. I want to, Lord, would you bring him across my path so I can witness to him? Anywhere in town will do. But he got kicked out of the club. I did turn him in. I turned him into the club, and the club wouldn't do anything because they were scared. The guy was terrifying. You know, if you could be terrified. Walk in the spirit. Everybody say walk in the spirit. Cultivating this daily dependence. I share these stories and this text, and I'm concluding here. You can walk in the spirit. You can be full of the spirit. You can move with the cloud. You can move with the column of fire. It doesn't just have to be the Hergelots to get a call from God. Anybody here, everyone here has a call from God. What is it? What does God want you to do? Maybe he wants you to stop drinking Coca-Cola. I don't know. Maybe he wants you to push yourself away from all those sugar cookies. I rebuke that. I rebuke you. I rebuke that. In Jesus' name. Lift your hands to Jesus. You're like, what's happening right now? I haven't had one sugar cookie today. I feel somewhat depleted. What is God saying? Hear his voice. Get rid of the things that are shutting down your walk with him. That lust problem you have. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking straight at the cameras. If you feel like I'm looking at you, it's because you're convicted. Lust. Porn. Your kids don't know what that is. I'm not going to tell them. Greed. Anger. Rage. Those things will shut down the move of the spirit. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Be filled with the Spirit. Worship in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Take steps of faith. What's God asking you to do? Big step of faith over there. Tucson. Go get it. God requires you to take steps of faith if you're going to be used by him in the move of the Spirit of God. Let me conclude this. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. It's just not the be-all, the end-all theological treatise on the Holy Spirit. It's just practical impartation of how to walk with God and how to be led by him and to hear his voice and let him use you. There's no greater joy in my life, this mystery, this journey of walking with God as he leads me and guides me and directs me. So many supernatural stories. So many supernatural stories. Oh, I got to tell you one more. I was in Antioch, California, and John Harkey, who's going to be one of our guests at the Power Conference up and coming, he wanted to introduce me to this pastor friend of his. Well, the pastor friend of his is pastoring a church in the hometown, and when I say hometown, I don't mean Wasilla, Penn Valley, California. There's only a few hundred people there. He's pastoring the church in the hometown of where my daughters were raised and where their mama lives. And I've been asked to come and hold a revival meeting in the hometown. In the hometown of where my kids were raised. You want to tell me who could do that? The same God that did this at Christmas time out of the Christmas lot, which many of us participate. We should do that. Except they freeze here. Isn't that right? Christmas tree lot. It's not a Christmas tree lot, and this guy walks in. This will be the last story, and then I'll read 1 Corinthians 2. And we'll close. The wheels are down. We're on approach. This guy comes in, and he's like, yeah, I need a tree. I'm like, okay, let me show you how big. Oh, I don't know, 7-8 feet. Okay. Well, you want a noble or you want a Douglas fir? Which one do you want? Oh, a noble. Noble's the only one. It's noble people and Douglas fir people. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so you wanted the noble. We went out, showed him the nobles. And as we're talking, picking his tree, I said, where are you from? He goes, oh, California. I said, oh, awesome. Whereabouts? He says, oh, between Sacramento and Truckee. And I get the tree and we're, you know, putting in the little netting and doing all of that stuff. And I said, oh, well, it's nice to meet you. It's nice to meet you, too. I said, oh, what are you doing tonight? He said, nothing. Why? We're on vacation. I said, we have this thing called the Birthday of the King. It's this amazing program. And I gave him 2 tickets. I said, just come. Just come. Bring your family. Come. Well, they come. Birthday of the King that night was amazing. Amazing production. And at the end of that, I mean, people saved, people touched by God. At the end, I was a part of the Connect department. And I would meet and greet and connect people. And so I went to the doors to say goodbye to people. People are leaving. Thank you for coming. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And here's this guy who I sold the tree to. And I said, hey, my friend from California. Hey, did you enjoy it? They're like, I mean, they're choking back the tears. They're like, whoa, that was amazing. I know. I told you it was going to be great. Well, Merry Christmas. And then he says, I want you to meet my wife. And so his wife comes. I said, oh, hi. My name's Daniel. Oh, nice to meet you. And then the kids walk up. And I said, so California? He says, yeah. I said, whereabouts? Like I said, Northern California. I said, well, whereabouts? They said, well, it's Grass Valley. Well, Grass Valley is the bigger town next to Penn Valley. I said, Grass Valley? Wow, I know where that is. He said, you do? Well, actually, we don't live there. We live in Penn Valley. I said, what? I instantly choke up with tears. I said, oh, Penn Valley. I know Penn Valley really well. And the mom says, huh? Oh my God, you're him. I'm like, I am? You're like, you're their father. You're Victoria and Juliet's father. And I thought, oh my God, yeah, I am. That's true. It's true. We heard about you. And she starts weeping. Kids are weeping. And I'm just crying. I get Karen, I bring her over. We're weeping. How is it that God could connect me? And the kids were best friends up to just before that. They had a disagreement and they were no longer best friends after that. But I got to meet my daughter's friends thousands of miles away, led by the Spirit of God. And God was saying, I have got this. I've got this for you. And then a few years later, now I've been praying for a long time. I usually don't talk much about this, certainly broadcasting all over the world to do it, but I kind of don't care on the other hand, because I'd like to be restored. And I'm asking God to do it. I've waited a long time. I will wait as long as it takes. One day, maybe you'll meet my 2 oldest children, Victoria and Juliet. In their late 30s now. Beautiful, amazing children. What could God do if we'd lead you, guide you? Don't read it about it in someone else's book. Make your own. Praise God for books. Praise God for stories like that that come from some pastor somewhere. Make your own stories. Be led by God yourself. Get rid of the bitterness. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the rage. Go deep in God. Go deep in His presence. Come to church maybe more than once a week. Seek Him. Join a life group. Plug in somewhere. Develop relationships. Pray in tongues for like more than 5 seconds. Try praying in tongues for an hour. You doom scroll for 2 hours. You could at least, you know what doom scrolling is? If you don't know what that is, you probably don't do it. All of you that are doom scrollers out there, you could back off on doom scrolling and start praying in the Spirit. Just cut the scrolling in half and pray the other time in the Spirit. Start somewhere. So this pastor heard that story. And I saw him last week and he invited me to go do a revival in the hometown. Now, the course of this story is over many, many, many years that I'm telling you. It wasn't just all in 1 week. What could God do with you, with me, with us, if we partnered with him? Last scripture, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Does anybody love God? Well, he's got some things prepared for you. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. I have endless stories, and I have ones that I haven't experienced yet that are on the way. Be a Spirit-filled person like Simeon, who got a revelation about the Messiah, the consolation of Christ, and was led at the exact moment into the temple to meet the Christ. On the eighth day, headed for circumcision as was accustomed to the law, and prophesied, what could God do through you? What could God do through you? Dream. Stir yourself. Don't let the stories be about just some other guy or some other book. It's about you. It's about you. It's about me. I invite you into another level with God. Go deep in God. We're going to get into, we're going to have an incredible Christmas time and all that. New Year's, we're going to fast and pray. Make 2026 the most incredible, no eye has seen, no ear has heard experience in God. You do the same thing and expect a different result. That is one of the definitions of insanity. I would highly advise you shift some things and reprioritize your life and put God and prayer first. Serve him, love him, read his word, make declarations, change some of your friends. Some of the friends you have are like a hole in your head. You don't need that. Nobody needs a hole in the head. Partnering with dumb. Bad company corrupts good character. You hang out with people that are anointed. You hang out with world changers. You hang out with visionaries, and that gets up on you. And before you know it, you're walking in vision. You're walking in purpose. You're walking in destiny. You're walking in no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. I believe that God is raising, stand up on your feet. I believe that God is raising up a people who will go after God like never before. History books. Oh, history books are waiting to be written about a people who would believe God. There's a new dimension of power that's being released in this hour. I'm calling my sons and my daughters from afar. To as many as believed in him, he gave them the right to become children of God. But you can walk in this obedience and this fire by night, this cloud by day. Don't partition your heart to say, well, that's for the extra pastor, evangelist, prophet, teacher, apostle guys. But I'm just somebody in the church. We were all just somebody in the church. We heard messages like this and said, I want that. And we took hold of it. That which took hold of us, we took hold of it and didn't let go. And then before we knew it, we found ourselves moving in a dimension of power. Don't discount yourself. You might have been a bump on a log for years, but you can wake up tonight. You can be led by the Spirit. You can be a Simeon. You can be an Anna. You can be someone who ushers in a move of the Spirit of God. His eyes are going to and fro, searching for a man. Searching for a woman whose heart is steadfast towards him. Lift your hands to heaven all across this place.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.